Let's go to the Lord and cry out for His help again. Oh Lord, we do just that. We cry out and ask that You might help us. Lord, for You are our only help. And we rightfully trust and believe that when we cry out that You hear Your people. So Lord, be with us this morning as Your word is read and preached. We ask that Your servant would lessen, that Christ would be exalted. We ask that the Spirit would work mightily through the means of grace, that not one of us would leave after hearing Your word read and preached the same, but that we would see saving and sanctifying grace at work. We'd be conformed to the image of our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 39 through 55. We're going to be spending the next few Sundays together to extend our break from our sermon series in Acts. And we're going to look at the songs that are sung in the early portions of Luke in praise of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly in His incarnation, His birth, as He comes on His mission to begin the redemption of His people. We're going to see this morning Elizabeth's song, which is a short song, but it praises God and magnifies glory to Him. And then we're going to spend a little more time looking at Mary's song here found in chapter 1. It's been referred to for quite a while now as the Magnificat. It's the first word in the Latin translation. That's why we remember it that way. So this is God's word, perfect and errant and sufficient. Follow along as I read in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39 on to 55. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever." We've entered into, coming out of the Thanksgiving season, now our culture and nation, our families, our friends, many of us have moved into the Christmas season, a season that's for many a wonderful time, for many more a hectic time, a very busy time. For some, it's even a sad time as they remember memories of old or those whom the Lord has taken. There's a lot going on. Think about some of the wonderful aspects of it, and perhaps maybe even some of the hectic. As new memories are made, there's decorations, there's parties, there's gatherings, there's great food, there's lots of food that's good. as we go from Thanksgiving through the celebration of this Christmas season. There's gatherings. And I pray for all of you that this next few weeks would be a wonderful time. That it wouldn't be hectic and be something that is difficult or hard. And I pray it's a time that we all have opportunities to get together and to celebrate and to hang out. I pray it's a time that the Lord would meet any sadness that anyone has, as new memories are made and old memories are remembered. And I pray it's a time that we all tell a lot of folks about Jesus. Now, we tell folks about Jesus any time of the year, every day, and we should. But the next couple weeks, there is an opportunity. There is a point of contact with our neighbors, with those around us, that they are, whether they want to or not, they're hearing a lot about at least the cultural celebration of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take advantage of that and tell others about our great God and sing praises to Him and witness Him to those around us. And, of course, we don't want to forget, enjoy our time coming up with Lessons and Carols, inviting many friends, family, and folks to join us there. But in the midst of all this, in the midst of this hectic, crazy month that's coming, I pray that we would remember something throughout the weeks, particularly in the Lord's days ahead, but that we remember it always, every Lord's Day. That we take to heart something we see here in this passage. May God's word guide your celebration of His covenant faithfulness in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. May God's word guide us as we celebrate the Lord's covenant faithfulness in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at these two songs, these two crying out in praise moments of Elizabeth and Mary. We'll look at Elizabeth first as she celebrates God's covenant faithfulness in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to look at Mary's song as she celebrates this God's covenant faithfulness, as she again is thankful and cries out for the incarnation of Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior. So let's look to Elizabeth's song first as we came to it. Elizabeth expresses humble thankfulness to God as her unborn son John rejoices at the presence of the Lord and Savior. And we see that it's recorded. What we didn't read, and what you may be familiar with if you've read Luke, and just prior to this, the previous passage, the angel Gabriel had come, and he had met Mary, and he told Mary what was happening. He proclaimed to her that God was going to do a mighty thing, that in this moment, in the fullness of time, through in the midst of God's redemptive history, that He had chosen her. He had blessed her. That she was going to carry the Savior, the God-man, the Messiah, who was coming to redeem His people. And he told Mary that her older cousin, Elizabeth, was with child as well. That'd be why she went to celebrate with Elizabeth to tell her this great news, as the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary that she would, under the power of the Holy Spirit, conceive and give birth to the Savior. So when Mary arrives, the Spirit is at work. The Spirit is driving both joy and worship in Elizabeth and in her child, and then we'll see in a few moments in Mary as well. But the Spirit causes Elizabeth to proclaim the joy and the blessing, the excitement that she had for the reality that Mary was carrying the God-man, the Messiah, And we know because the Spirit inspires Luke to record this, and the Spirit makes it clear to Elizabeth that as her child in the womb leaped for joy, moved, that it wasn't just a movement, but that it was particularly for the very reason that John in the womb, by the power of the Spirit, felt the presence of the one that he would proclaim and be used by God to clear the path for, as he would preach repentance and faith to the people of Israel, telling them, preparing them for their Messiah who was coming. Even in the womb, the forerunner was celebrating the Messiah that he would praise and worship and proclaim to many around him. And Elizabeth also, in the midst of this, is rejoicing as she sees Mary's faith, as she sees Mary trusting God's will, as she sees, as Elizabeth has, she sees before her cousin believing in the Lord, her God. This faith that she has, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, the faith that we hold on to, that we understand in verse 8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Elizabeth is praising God that she sees in her cousin this faith that God has given to her, that she is believing God in a saving manner. And then she also sees this trust that she has of God, a trust that we see proclaimed in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." If you go back to that previous passage I mentioned, where the angel Gabriel comes and tells the Virgin Mary what is to happen, Mary's response in verse 38, right before we come to our passage, the response that she gives: "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She not only believed, but she trusted in God's perfect will, providence, his mercy, his goodness, his grace. As one 19th century pastor writes about what Elizabeth sees: "What is the whole history of God's saints in every age but a record of men and women who obtained a good report by faith? What is the simple story of all from Abel downwards but a narrative of redeemed sinners who believed and so were blessed? By faith they embraced promises. By faith they lived. By faith they walked. By faith they endured hardships. By faith they looked to an unseen Savior and good things yet to come. By faith they battled with the world, the flesh, and the devil. By faith they overcame and got safe home. Of this goodly company, the Virgin Mary was proving herself one. No wonder that Elizabeth said, 'Blessed is she that believed.'" Is that a faith that you hold genuinely and truly? You find yourself today trusting in the Lord and his perfect providence. That's the faith that we proclaim to others. That's the hope that we proclaim to others. The Lord Jesus Christ, and him and he alone, there is salvation. So just a little bit there about Elizabeth's song of praise. But then we come to Mary's celebration, Mary's song, and she praises God for his covenant faithfulness in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary praises the Lord for his mercy towards her. We see that in verses 46 and 49, the beginning of the song, as Mary begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Now what we're going to see moving all the way through this song of Mary, and we see it right here already beginning, is that it is saturated with God's word. Mary is in this song proclaiming God's truth, his word, back to him. Just in these few verses that I just read again, she quotes from Psalm 22, Psalm 25, Psalm 72, Psalm 89, Psalm 99, Psalm 103, 1 Samuel 1. There's just a few places that she quotes from in this explosion under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of praise to God and the mercy that he is showing towards her. Every now and then I enjoy a good cup of coffee. And when we get done here, we're spending time in the fellowship hall, I'll probably drink a couple cups. So the other day I had a cup out, and I was pouring out of the pot, and I wasn't paying attention. I mean, this has happened to you, and my little coffee mug, and I got too much coffee, and then it filled and overflowed. But what startled me and blew me away is that as it overflowed, the butterflies flew away. Thankfully, a few of the adults smiled, but all the children did. They wondered, butterflies flying out of coffee mugs? What is that? No, that's not what happened. I was just kidding. When I overflowed the mug, coffee overflowed. Because that coffee was what was being poured in to the mug. So it is what overflowed. We see in Mary's song, what I don't want us to miss as we move our way through, it's obvious that what the Spirit has been pouring in to the heart of Mary, what Mary has been pouring into her heart and mind, is God's word, God's truth, God's promises. Because when she praises him, it again explodes out. God's word does, and we see that before us, this thankfulness and praise overflowing from Mary's heart for the Lord. God bestows upon, we see here, Mary the greatest honor any woman will ever have throughout redemptive history, throughout all of history. She is the mother of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And she says, even crying out here, that from now on, because of what God has done, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me and his holy name. Now, there's been a lot, or let me say this, there's been some confusion by some in the church throughout church history where they have read that, and they've read with a different interpretation of glasses that changes meaning, and what they see is, sadly, not that Mary blessed God for him blessing her, but instead that Mary somehow in this great blessing of carrying the Messiah, that she was then to be blessed and asked for blessings. That she was then elevated to the status of a mediatrix on the level of our Savior. But we do not see Mary asking to be venerated. We do not see Mary asking to be worshipped. We do not see Mary asking to be prayed to. We see Mary simply stating that God has blessed her so greatly that she will be called blessed. And she was. Think about that. Able to carry her Savior. As we'll move along in the next few weeks looking at the incarnation, the birth of Christ, even as a mother, she held the Lord Jesus Christ, her child, at that very moment. This is when our brains explode. The Lord Jesus Christ is sustaining the universe. She cared for and looked after the God-man who had come to redeem her and all of his people. But we see she's not crying out to be like Christ, not trying to be a mediatrix. We see in 1 Timothy the truth in chapter 2 that we all know and confess. For God tells us in verse 5, "For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all," which is the testimony given at the proper time. "For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle, and I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Yes, we can say the Lord blessed Mary mightily. But Mary, what she will tell us when we see her in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, "Any blessings are simply because I was used by the Lord in his work of redemption to bring the incarnation and birth of Christ." So we see that Mary praises the Lord for his mercy towards her. As we move a little farther into her song here, we see Mary praises the Lord for his sovereign loving kindness. Starting in verse 50 down to 53. "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." Again, these few words, sentences are saturated with God's word. You can find her quoting here Psalm 44, Psalm 89, Psalm 98, Psalm 103, 2 Samuel 22, Job 5, Job 12, Isaiah 53. Mary is now praising God that he is redeeming his people, that the Messiah is about to be born. The Messiah who's going to live the perfect life that no one, east of Eden, no one after the fall can live. That he alone, that he might then, in a few decades, go to the cross and have the sins of his people placed on him as he pays their debt. Their sin debt, the full wrath of God poured out on them, that when the Spirit gives life and as we receive these wonderful promises and we trust in Christ, that his righteousness is placed on us. She is praising God for his sovereign love and kindness. We see here also she proclaims some great truths, and she praises our Lord for them. That he's mighty and he's sovereign over history. He's mighty and he's sovereign over the hearts of people. He's mighty and he is sovereign. For he has come in the fullness of time, working in redemptive history to bring about the salvation of his people. Last week we talked about thanking God as we began our short break from our sermon series in Acts. So here's another aspect we can put thanking God to work. We can spend not only our time right now thanking God, but we can do it this week and in the days ahead and every day, thanking God for the grace that he's poured out upon you. All those that know Christ savingly, thank God for that. Cry out and thank the Lord. Thank our Father that he sent his only begotten Son. Thank Christ that he came willingly to redeem his people. Thank the Spirit that he indwells, that he gives life to all those who have been appointed unto salvation. We come to the end of the song here, these passage of praise. Mary praises the Lord for his covenant faithfulness. You've probably already picked up on it a little bit as we've been moving our way through this psalm, this song. His covenant faithfulness, starting in verse 54. We'll read down to 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Again, this is Bible saturated. Many areas are being quoted. Psalm 25, Psalm 98, Psalm 136, Psalm 147, Genesis 12, Genesis 17, Genesis 22, Micah 7. Just a few places in this outburst, spirit-empowered praise and thankfulness. Now, as Mary praises the Lord for his covenant faithfulness, one, as she proclaims the reality and the truth that our God is worthy to be trusted, that he is faithful to his promises, that he does what he says. We also see the covenantal aspect, though. She talks of him remembering his mercy towards Israel. What's been proclaimed to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. That was just one Lord's Day ago as we were doing our continual reading through Genesis, that we were in Genesis 17, and we saw God's covenant that he made. And he proclaimed to Abraham, changed his name. Many things were done, and that covenant promise is true today, just as it was then, thousands and thousands of years ago. And it is what we see being proclaimed and praised by Mary here, God's covenant faithfulness. This covenant promise that as you read through the Bible, you see where God says, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell with you forever. We see it from Genesis to Revelation. It's what we enjoy and experience right now as God's people. And it is God's promise to us, his covenant, that we are going to enjoy for all eternity. 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years. To the point where perhaps we've lost track of time. This covenant promise will stand. As God said, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell with you forever. And Mary is praising the Lord for this. Sadly, children, if you haven't learned this lesson, you're going to learn it. Not everybody keeps their promises. Friends don't keep their promises, so they'll fail you at some point. Parents don't keep their promises. They fail you at some point. One day, if you haven't already, which you probably have, you're not going to keep your promises. You'll fail someone. But the adults, you know this. I mean, you've lived it. You've had friends. You've had people make commitments to you, promises, and they don't come through. Just about everyone you've ever voted or not voted for has made promises, and most of them don't keep them. You know, maybe someone you worked for made promises. You know, we're going to fail one another. Your pastor is going to fail you at some point. We're sinful. We are not the Lord. But in the midst of that, we can remember, and in fact, it magnifies the reality, the truth, that God is covenant faithful. He does not break his promises. And we can trust in that. And he is worthy of praise for that. So Mary praises God for fulfilling his promise of sending the Messiah, not failing to care for his people. And she is blessed to be a means used by him in this. A promise that goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we're going to look at this evening in covenant, up at covenant in Oak Ridge. I'm going to be preaching from Genesis chapter 3, 15. Classic text to celebrate the incarnation season. This first promise that the Redeemer would come for his people. Mary is carrying the Messiah, the Savior, in her womb. She's experiencing the fulfillment already. She's seeing it. She knows it. The angel Gabriel has revealed it to her. Elizabeth now is celebrating it. She's already gotten a taste of it from what Zechariah has shared with her through writing, for he can't speak at the moment. As he's been told, his son, John, who Elizabeth carries, would be the forerunner, proclaiming, preparing the way for the Messiah. Fullness of time has come. So just like Mary, just like Elizabeth, let's have hearts that overflow with thankfulness for God's covenant faithfulness to his people. We see it in God's word, he tells us. We see it in church history. We see it in our own lives. God is faithful to his covenant. So let's praise him for that. And let us not look past it. Let us not forget it. Allow ourselves to be beat down by things that are happening that are challenging, hard. But in the midst of that, let us hold tightly this covenant. Because our covenant faithful God is holding tightly to us, dear saints. He never forgets the covenant that he has made. Even when we do, he doesn't. So we looked at Elizabeth's song of celebration and Mary's song of celebration. May God's word guide your celebration of his covenant faithfulness and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you would do just that. Your word would guide us as we praise you and celebrate your covenant faithfulness, as we remember not just today and the weeks ahead, but every day. Incarnation, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the coming return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've said it. It's truth. You are our hope. Lord, we love you. And we are thankful, more importantly, that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.